Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, 104.3 The Score, all the way till 5 a.m. Dios mío, Diosito lindo. Es un montón de tiempo, and it's a long time. And wow, Tyler Farrengal, we cannot be playing this at 1 a.m.
I have night typed in here, so anything with night music. I'm trying to stay on theme, man.
I need day. I need day music. Give me something. Play me something right now with a little, like, I need some tempo, bro. You trying to put me to bed? You playing lullabies for me?
I'm not trying to play lullabies.
That was, we need, every rejoin needs to be hype.
So, like, okay, you're a chill guy. That's kind of what I came across. I'll play something that's kind of like,
I see what you're doing here.
Chill. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to go with the flow.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? As the talent, I'm sorry that I wasn't transparent enough. See? That's a good communication between producer and...
Understood. I got you.
Yeah. So I hear that and I'm like, oh, damn. I'm going to go to sleep. All right. But that's not what we're doing. We're locked in. We are locked in because we still got 4 more hours to go, Tyler. And we, baby T, need the energy. And we are turned to the max. This cup of coffee, I got to be honest, didn't do a damn thing for me. The good thing is I slept, though. So as long as I sleep, if I can sleep, I'm in good. Now we get to take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Snake Man. Now that's an overnight caller if I ever heard one. Snake Man. Snake Man, are you a night owl?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Oh, yeah. I need you to do me a favor, though. You got to turn off your radio.
Oh, I know. Okay.
I know.
All right.
I know. Back in the day. Yeah, turn it down for me. I know, back in the day.
He's a 1955 Zenith.
Exactly. I knew it. All right, Snake Man. Talk to me about Caleb Williams.
Oh, he's the man going to lead us to the destination. We got Jalen. We got Bird out there. Man, we just need a little bit more defense. And I think we're good to go, just like the 85 Bears.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Snake Man. I think you're right. Just need a little bit more. He wasn't a night owl. You saw that? So for those of you that are listening, if you call in and I say, are you a night owl? And he says, oh, yeah. You're not a night owl. That's how you know. That's the beauty of the bit, Tyler. I was trying to explain it to you earlier. That's the beauty of the bit. It's like, because the night owls that are listening, they know that he's not a night owl. You know what I'm saying? They get it. So it's funny to them that this guy has no idea what we're talking about. Because we are a we. We are a collective, Tyler. And the people listening and the people calling in, the people texting in, we are the night owls.
Who?
Damn. That was so good. That was so good. That was like A+. Right there. Timing right there. all right. What does it say from somebody texting in about Humble Park? Except a couple seconds. Humble Park played so many sports there. If I'm any of that park could talk, if you could baseball there, hold your own, you were good and played at Clemente. Yeah. Not sure where that came from, but somebody texting in about Humble Park. I played. So it's this weird. I will call it weird. It's this weird thing that. So in the Caribbean. Men's underhand fast pitch is a thing. Okay. Australia, they do it too. But men's underhand fast pitch is actually a big thing here in the Midwest too. And so at Humble Park, there are several, or in this Humble Park in the surrounding areas, you could say, there are several fast pitch underhand leagues. Did you hear that? Fast pitch underhand leagues. Of like grown men that played at the highest levels, and it in Humboldt Park, you could play it. Maringuete, there's like different types of pitching styles. And I've played there. I played in Humboldt Park for almost 10 years, fast pitch underhand. I played in the Mian League. There's just so many. And so the thing about Humboldt Park is like when I tell people I play, and then you call it baseball. Like everybody's like, you play baseball in Humboldt Park? Yeah, I play on Sundays. Like you call it baseball, but it's underhand fast pitch. But so when people say baseball at Humboldt Park, you got to be specific about what type of baseball are you playing. Are you playing league ball baseball, like real baseball? Or are you playing underhand fast pitch? So shout out to, what are we in, February? So right now, 12-inch. There you go. He knows what I'm talking about. And it's actually it's with a clincher. So it's like 12-inch, but not the yellow ball. Nobody's doing it with the yellow ball. They got it. They got the white ball, the little small little clincher. So trust me, I've been out there. I play. Shout out my cousin Red, who's always playing out there. Shout out to DJ Enigma, plays out there. Shout out to DJ Cuco, who always got teams out there in Humboldt Park winning championships in different places. So a lot of people out there doing that. Anyway, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score, talking to you about it all. Of course, the wheel today. This is good. I like being able to produce in real time. You know what I mean? Because it's an overnight show, so you have like you can stretch your arms a little bit. I do like the wheel idea where, you know, typically, Tyler, when you're producing a show, you're like, okay, 1 o'clock to 1:20, I'm going to be talking about this. And from 1:20 to 1:40, I'll be talking about this. Overnight, you can't really do that. Like you could, but then you can't engage the audience because you're talking about something specific that maybe they don't want to be talking about. So that's why the wheel is good. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe throughout the night, I'll have 5 topics that you can comment on, you know? And so like, for example, if you were to call in, like I gave the question earlier, like tell me your mood, your sports mood right now. That was maybe a little too vague. But if you want to talk Bears, I asked a question. I said, if you could pick one place anywhere to build a stadium, where would you build it? So that could be on the wheel, right? Where you can answer that question all 5 hours, you know what I'm saying? Then the Cubs and Sox is what are your expectations for the Cubs or Sox? So you get to pick what you want to talk about is what I'm saying. No? We're feeling that? Okay, maybe not. All right.
Well, I was actually thinking earlier, and I remember us doing a show overnight this season.
Yeah.
It was, of course, after a loss, the Ravens loss. And I had remembered, this is about Caleb Williams, I remember you were telling me before, and you even presented this on the air, that my thought has lowered on him. Like, I think his floor...
Your ceiling is lowered.
Yes, the ceiling has lowered. Based off of where they finished last year, if it hasn't changed, are you willing to revisit that and say, hey, maybe he's bumped that back up?
It's a great, great callback, great question, great discussion to have. So for context, Caleb had too many games in a row for me where... And we were talking about this earlier in the show about expectations on players. We, as fans of Chicago teams, we kind of put players up on a pedestal. And I think when it came to Caleb Williams, my ceiling for Caleb Williams was a top 3 quarterback in the league. I thought Caleb, you know what I'm saying, first pick in the draft, he could, if he figures it out, he could be a top 3 quarterback in the league. And you know, you could throw that phrase around casually, but then when you look at the actual top quarterbacks in the league, you know, it's hard to crack the top 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really, like right now, let's just say if you go Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, right? But number 3, you could say Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, whatever. And even if that's your top 5, like getting into the top 5 is hard. So my ceiling for Caleb Williams was a top 3. And what I said that after the Ravens game, I would have to just, like his ceiling, I would need to drop it a little bit. So maybe I want him to be like a top 8 quarterback. And I think that's still there. I don't think Caleb Williams, damn, I can't believe I'm saying this. People are going to be pissed. But again, this goes back to evaluating players. I do not think Caleb Williams will be a top three quarterback in the league. Just don't think it. And so, no, my opinion on Caleb Williams has not changed. I think he, I mean, in 5 years, what is this list going to look like, right? Like in 5 years, will Patrick Mahomes be a top three quarterback still? Probably not. Maybe. Josh Allen, maybe. Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Matthew Stafford, maybe. So the room to sneak in there is there, right? Because in 5 years, if you're great, you could find your way into that place. But that's tough. That's tough. So I'm going to say no. But I don't want to put those expectations on my quarterback either. I don't want me to feel like I need to have Caleb Williams playing at a top three level in order for the Bears to win a Super Bowl. I need Caleb Williams to do that. I don't want to feel that way. I want Caleb Williams to be a comfortable top 7-8 quarterback, right? Like, let's see. Jared Goff, this is according to NFL.com. So Jared Goff, they got him as the number 8 quarterback. Jalen Hurts, number 9. Matthew Stafford, number 6. You could be in that little area and take the Bears to the Super Bowl. You could be right there. I don't need you to be top 3. I could just get to be 5-8, and I think that would be enough there. So, again, I don't think that's necessarily changed. Caleb Williams, I mean, if you're looking for year-over-year improvements in what took place, year 2, he ended up with a lower completion percentage. Ain't that some S? A lower completion percentage? Threw for 400 more yards than he did in year 1. This is I'll just give you the comparison, right? So QBR rating was 3 points higher. He had 21 less completions, 6 more attempts. Damn, that's crazy. That's why his percentage is lower. 21 fewer completions, 6 more attempts, 400 more yards. Yards per attempt went from 6.3 to 6.9. Passing yards per game went from 208 to 231. Touchdowns, 20 to 27. Interceptions from 6 to 7. Sacks, here's the biggest one. 68. Do you know how many times he got sacked in 2025?
26.
24, very good.
Holy cow.
Very good. 24 times, so from 68 to 24. Do you remember one of the bigger knocks on Caleb Williams coming out of college? Do you remember?
He holds onto the ball too long.
And what else? That because of that, fumbles.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know how many fumbles lost Caleb Williams has in 2 years?
Goose egg?
0. Ain't that something?
That's 0? Pretty. I mean, the Ben Johnson effect? Dare I say it's real?
Maybe the Matt Eberflus effect didn't have any fumbles last year either, Tyler. But isn't that something? That's passing though. Rushing.
What's that?
Rushing, much different. All right. How many fumbles did Caleb Williams have his rookie year rushing? That was passing. He had 0.
Rushing.
So, like, now he's a scrambler. Now maybe he gets sacked.
I'm going to say 6?
10 fumbles his rookie year.
Oh, wow.
5 of them lost.
Ugh.
So, 5 turnovers. This year, how many fumbles did Caleb Williams have?
As a rusher. 2.
9.
Ooh.
So 10 last year, 9 this year. Here's the biggest difference. Fumbles lost, 1.
Okay, well, if I said the 2 for the second one, I'd sound a lot more realistic.
Hold up. How about this, though? You fumbled the ball 9 times and got 8 of them back? You lucky MF-er.
Yeah.
You lucky MF-er. Your offensive line jumped on the ball that many times? You lucky. You got stripped 9 times and you got 8 of them back.
And we all remember one of them being that Steelers game when he tried to throw that ball in a ridiculous angle and TJ Watt fell on it in the end zone.
That one hurt.
Yeah, that was not good.
Bears still won that game though, right?
Of course they did.
It's Bears.
Jaquan Brisker batting down that pass.
Jaquan B.
We're going to probably revisit this several times, but I mean, got to ask the question, Jaquan Brisker, future Bear? Or no, in 2026.
I think
that one's very, very split. I think that one is the most, like.
I think that one's the most cut and dry.
You think?
It's just because the Bears aren't going to pay him.
Yeah.
They're just not going to pay Jaquan Brisker. So he's going to get money on the open market because there are going to be teams that feel like they're a safety away. You know, or teams get desperate when a particular position is underperforming. And so if you have a team out there, I don't know who those teams are, but if you have a team out there that feels like they're a safety away, a Tyrann Mathieu away from getting, you know, I mean, let me see. I love the internet so much. You just go on there. So like the Vikings, the Cowboys, and the Colts all need safety help. You're going to tell me that the Minnesota Vikings or
the Dallas Cowboys,
right? Harrison Smith's out. And then they're thinking about drafting somebody, but if they want to get another wily veteran and just a Jaquan Brisker, somebody they're very familiar with, you're going to tell me the Dallas Cowboys don't want their defense better and wouldn't love a Kwanee B, especially because Diggs is no longer there, so they got a couple dollars to spend, right? No Trayvon Diggs over there. So they get, I mean, come on. The Indianapolis Colts, they got Daniel Jones coming back. They're trying to make a run for it. They feel like the defense is what's they want to get a little better. That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to pay them the money. The Bills and the Dolphins are looking for safety help as well, as are the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, again, you're talking about six teams that if I'm Jaquan Brisker, I've already contacted all those teams. I've already hit them up. How much money are you talking about giving up for the safety position? And then think about it. He's going up against Kevin Byard, too.
And that's a tough – safety is like a tough market to kind of garner on the free agency. Like, it's like that one ranges. Like, your higher paid one is what? Like, around $20 million, I want to say?
Yeah, 20-something million.
That's a tough one. And for a guy, I mean, we know what he can do when he's healthy, obviously, but that's the problem is he hasn't been healthy. That's been his biggest knack.
That is it. And that is the biggest one. And that's why I don't think the Bears will pay him. You know, sorry, my brain farted when I was trying to search for NFL free agents for safeties. It's just too much money. I mean, when you're looking at those that are out here, like, and then he didn't even make that much money last year. Jaquan Brisker last year made $1.8 million. Think about that. 1.8. He's about to get 5X. Spot Rack has his estimate around $10 million. You know what that would make him? Let me see something. Okay. They're expecting him to be the fourth highest paid safety.
Whoa.
Kobe Bryant is a free agent from Seattle, so he's about to get paid. They think he's going to make $14 million, especially after just won the Super Bowl. Brian Cook coming off his rookie deal. He's 26 years old from the Kansas City Chiefs. He made 1.4. They're talking about him getting $14 million. Cam Curl, who was second on the Rams in tackles. Great safety. He's somebody who I thought the Bears could take a look at. But Cam Curl, 26 only. He's in line to make $10 million. And then right after that, Jaquan Brisker. These are the market value AAV, according to Spot Rack. Jaquan Brisker coming in at number four with $10 million a year. So I just don't think the Bears are going to spend $10 million on Kwanee B. Like, if you're looking at Kevin Byard, they're talking about him making the same amount of money, like $7.5 million. But there are some other, you know, there's some guys to be had out there. You know, some younger dudes that I feel like, you know, can I interest you in I don't know. Who's out here?
I have the before you go in your tangent. I actually pulled up the safety market if you want. So number one highest paid safety in the league is Kyle Hamilton with Baltimore at 25. We'll just go top five.
Yeah,
Kirby Joseph with the Lions, 21.25. Antoine Winfield just a hair under at 21. Derwin James, $19 million. Buda Baker with the Cardinals, $18 million.
Yeah, see, I think when you're talking about the distribution of wealth for your defense and the Bears who have, let's not forget, Jaquan Brisker was making $1.8 million. You know what I'm saying? And if you're like, do I want to pay $15 million to replace that? No. I feel like I could just go out and get another Jaquan Brisker, someone comparable, and spread those dollars somewhere else. So it'd be interesting. There's, again, there's some young guys that are out here. A lot of young safeties. And so I think, yeah, Jaquan Brisker is a wrap for him. Kevin Byard is going to be 33 next year. I mean, there's not even anybody remotely close to Kevin Byard's age when you're looking at the potential free agents that are out there and who the top ones are. It's Kevin Byard is the seventh highest AAV safety that's remaining. He's 32. No, when I say no one is close to him, you have to go all the way down. I mean, first of all, he's the oldest free agent safety that's out there. You'd have to go to Jordan Poyer, who's been in the league for 13 years, plays for the Buffalo Bills, is the only person that's older than him. Jonathan Owens is even 30 and old as hell out there. But Jaquan Brisker will be one of the older free agent safeties that are out there. So I could see them maybe going like $5-6 million, you know, like he's making $7.5 million last year. He's obviously a 10-year vet, made the Pro Bowl. So, and it goes back to what Ryan was saying, right? Earlier in the show. Health, right? Ryan was talking about the offensive line. Talk about Kevin Byard. Talk about some of the other guys on defense that were healthy for that whole time. So, I mean, it's an interesting position to look at. I'm trying to think how much cap space do the Bears have?
Well, and the big thing, too, that we kept hearing about Kevin Byard coming back and how everyone was like, it makes sense, is, I mean, we've heard from Ben Johnson, we've heard from Caleb Willett, we've heard from, who haven't we heard from, that Kevin Byard might be one of the most, if not the most influential voice in that locker room. And money set aside, it doesn't seem like that's something the Bears want to part with. Like, I know that they probably are like, we're not getting 7 interceptions from him. Right. Last year, but that veteran voice, kind of like Grady Jarrett. The production wasn't there, but everyone referred to him as, like, he is that dude that we go to for advice and wisdom.
You'd have to. I mean, and you got to have somebody like that in the locker room because the coach can only coach so much. You got to have an extension of the coach in there, and Kevin Byard, definitely that. So as of today, the Bears are approximately $5.3 million over the salary cap. Over. Now, even though they're over it, there's the potential to make between like $50 and $85 million in cap space through restructures and potential releases of veterans. So, I mean, obviously you're talking about DJ Moore with $28 million. I think you could save like $15 there. They're not going to cut Montez Sweat, who's making $25, and they're not going to cut Jalen Johnson, who's making $24. But, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, maybe. I think you're only saving like $6 million there, but I went over the numbers yesterday, and it gets up to like $40 million quickly, like when you're making cuts and restructures and such. So, I mean, again, when you're thinking about that and how tight money is, and you got two pending safety free agents, it's like, you know, you have no choice. You have little choice when it comes to that. And then when you're thinking about draft capital in 2026, I mean, obviously, we know they have the 25th overall, and that's going to be probably like a best player available. Then they got the 57th overall and then the 89th. So 25, 57, 89, I mean, not bad. Then you got a fourth rounder from the Rams, a fifth rounder, and 2 7th rounders. So the Bears gave up their original 2026 fourth round pick to the Chiefs. That was for Tooney, right? And they acquired the fourth round pick in the swap from last year via the trade. And they traded 2026 sixth round pick to the Browns for Joe Tryon, Shoyanka, and a 7th round pick. Damn. So, you know, your first three picks, I mean, so you only got, I mean, damn, four picks. You know what I mean? Like first, second, third, and fourth. Like, that's it. You know, and you're not going to be super active in free agency for the points that I just, reasons I just mentioned. All right. So when we come back, I would love, so you see the three key picks in the first three rounds, 25, 57, 89. 25, 57, 89, you're the Bears GM. You understand what the needs are for this team. Tell me what you're picking with each one. Give me your positions, right? Because then I'll know what you feel like is the most important in 25, second most important in 57, third most important in 89. So those are your three picks, first, second, third round. I want to know what's the order of importance for you. Tell me those positions for the Chicago Bears that you feel like they should draft in the first, second, and third. And it's more so an exercise about what positions you think are the most important. All right. 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local on your overnights right here on 104.3 The Score.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
And that's how you get the people going. Some good music right there from my producer, Tyler Farrengall, holding things down. It is Gabe Ramirez. I'm 104.3 The Score, live and local on your overnights all the way till 5 a.m., man. Giving it right up to Dustin Rose, like a little, it's like a little Rob Dillingham passing the lane. Oh, man, Rob Dillingham.
This is going to be the first time I'm driving home from an overnight listening to the pregame show in crystal clear FM quality.
Wow, look at that.
I'm actually hyped because I hate getting out of this garage and it's all staticky. Yeah. It's like, no, I want to listen, especially after the Bears game. I'm like, I want to hear what he says after the Bears game.
Yeah, I hear
now,
that.
No worries.
No problems. I'm going to ask you this, and this is just, you do not have to answer this question. Do you want to talk about what car you have? What car you drive me home?
I don't care. Yeah, bring it.
What car are you driving home?
2016 Toyota Camry SE.
All right. That sounds like a car that should have HD in it.
It does. It's just when I get down to like the lower whacker level.
Did you know that 104.3, when it was jams, HD 2 was the score?
You know what? Yes, I did, because every time that I would put that in the tweet, but now I don't have to do the HD2 anymore.
Because I would always, like, whenever I would just go downtown, I would just turn on my HD2 channel for my, you know.
I just figured out, like, I got it on.
I get it, though.
I got it on. I don't want to mess with it. I'm one of these people where, like, when I preset something, it's like,
yeah,
I'm stuck in my ways.
Set it and forget it is what we're looking at right there. And you did. And the good thing is you have to set it to no other place but 104.3. And you get us. Beautiful, crystal clear, coming in. Good levels.
I think on the air last week with Steve Rosenblum, I said mid-drive in, it was like Friday last week.
Yeah.
Stuck in traffic. I'm like, you know what? Let's just make the switch. 670, 104.3. And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Wow. Not going back.
Was it like turning on the lights at the club at like 150 when the, you know, because the club closes at 2, the lights come on and you're looking at everybody and you're like, whoa, you know, because it's clear. Is that what happened when the score went to 104.3?
It was like, just a, yeah, completely like, different. Whoa. It's like everything like boom, like echoed back. I was like, wow.
Like somebody turn off the lights, put the music back on.
Yes.
All right. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you again all the way till 5 o'clock. We're going to be taking some phone calls, 312-644-6767 on the wheel today. You can talk about the Chicago Bears Stadium. Where would you drop it at? Anywhere in the city of Chicago. We are talking Olympic sports. Maybe if there's one in particular that you like. Obviously, Winter Olympics happening right now. What are your expectations for Cubs Sox? And if you want to talk about Bulls, which I'm here for, you got to drop a dollar in the bucket. All right, let's go out to the lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Herschel out in Lincoln Park. Herschel, now I know you're a night owl, right?
Yes,
there we go. See, Tyler's producing the show. Herschel, Tyler's producing the show for the first time, and I was trying to tell him. I said, "No, Tyler, you don't understand. We are collective. We are a we." I was like, "And when people call in, they're gonna get it. I'm telling you." He's like, "Are you sure, Gabe?" He's like, "Are you sure?" I don't know. And I'm like, "No, they're gonna get it. Trust me. We are a we." And Herschel from Lincoln Park certainly that. So I'm glad you did that. All right, Herschel, talk to you, man. Yes. What's on your mind?
So a couple things. One, I'm so glad you guys went to 104 because my grandparents gave me a 2000 Volvo and my AM was non-existent.
Hey.
So I couldn't listen to it in my car. Now I'm 104.3. The score, I'm ready.
Locked in. I love it.
So at any rate, I'm going to make sure that I make it out to a Chicago Fire game just so I can say hi to you.
Okay, 100%. That's what's up. Home openers. You know what I mean? The home opener is February 28th. They got a brand new kit. That's like the jersey. They got a brand new jersey, which is crazy. And then on March 3rd, I'll be doing the groundbreaking ceremony for their new stadium. So it's kicking off March 3rd.
Where's it going to be at?
You haven't heard about this, Herschel?
No, the new stadium. No, I have not heard what a new stadium is going to be.
Oh, it's going to be in the 78, which is right on Roosevelt and Canal, right on the corner. They're calling it the 78th neighborhood in Chicago because they're going to be building it out. So, yeah, it's going to be there. The pictures are online and everything is beautiful. It's going to be amazing.
I'm on it.
All right.
I'm on it.
All right. I know you don't want to talk fire, so what do you want to talk about right now?
I want to talk about how I think that like Cole Kmet and a couple other players, I think that they're going to rework their contract because I think they really want to see it through. I think they know that Caleb Williams is a beast and they're probably going to go to Super Bowl in the next 3 years, per se. And I think they're going to rework, especially Cole Kmet. He's a hometown. You know what I mean? DJ Moore, we need him. I don't care what nobody says. I know they think that he's kind of lackadaisical or whatever, blah, blah. But he's a dog. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, like, I think, you know, it's foregone conclusion. You know, Jaquan, he's gone. Risk is gone.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, like, certain players, they need to rework their contract so we can keep that continuity going. What do you think about that? Because Christian Gonzalez, though, he proved a lot. Because if he wasn't in the game, that game would have been a blowout.
Without a doubt. That would have been a bad one. I think, listen, I'm here for continuity. But I think, you know, we've seen it with the Kansas City Chiefs, right, Herschel, where you can try to keep your guys as much as you want, but inevitably you have to recreate your team around your superstars, right, around that core group. And for them, it was Travis Kelce, it was Patrick Mahomes, and then it was Chris Jones, right, their defensive tackle. So I think that to them – so I think the Bears just need to continue to find out who that is for them. Obviously, Caleb is one of them. But then who else is that for you? So I think outside of that, in the present, Herschel, it's just about making your team better, right? Like every year, every position. And you heard Ben Johnson talk about it at the end of the season. Hey, we're going to go ahead and evaluate, and we're going to have to make some tough decisions on how to make this team better. It's just part of the business.
Next man up.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no other way around that. So I think, you know, for you, what is the area that you feel like needs the most improvement?
Not in this order, but defensive, like a tackle and linebacker, defensive end. I'm not saying we need to go get Max Crosby because it's going to cost us some cheese, but but I think that we need to get somebody that's like maybe second tier and a half. You know what I mean? Because man, that two sacks for what's his name? I don't remember his name. On the left side, of Sweat.
Montez Sweat.
He had two sacks.
Oh yeah, Dio Dangbo.
That's not acceptable. Yeah. give me six. You know, and then let Tez, you know, get seven. Okay, I'm cool with that, but not two.
It seems like, isn't it so funny, Herschel? Where you look at this Bears team, right? And they had a terrible offensive line for a couple seasons. Then they go out and pay some money to, you know, Jonah Jackson, Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, and all of a sudden it seemed like the offensive line is fixed, right? And here, when you're thinking about the defensive side of the ball, it's very similar, right? Where you've had this lack of productivity from the line itself, and you're like, damn, how do we fix it? Well, we've been trying to draft guys. That hasn't worked out, right? Shamar Turner, right. Dominic. Okay, and then we tried to sign guys, Dio Dangbo, you know, and it's just like, man, nothing is working. It's like, it's hard when you're trying to allocate dollars because you've spent it already on Montez Sweat. You're trying to do something else. It's just hard.
In your opinion, what do you do? Do you recruit from inside? I mean, do you just kind of have next man up, people grow? I mean, I'm confused of what to do, you know?
Well, I think you want a guy like Austin Booker to be able to step up, right? And I think that's where coaching comes into play because you want to develop someone into something, right? If you want to have a good team, some of your draft picks have to be diamonds in the rough. Like, it is inevitable. You need some young guys to step in. Look at the Patriots. Granted, they didn't win, but they had two rookie offensive linemen, right? You need to find these people that can contribute to winning, or as Billy Donovan would say, impact winning. So, again, you would love it to be an Austin Booker, but I think the answer for me, you can't just keep throwing money at the situation. Right.
No.
So for me, it's like, I wish this is the area that the Bears would get it right in, that like that they would draft a third round defensive end and that person can be impactful instead of like these fringe guys that you're hoping for, or, you know, they have high ceilings. Like, nah, man, give me the blue chipper. That's why at Herschel, you know, we've been throwing around like today where we know the 25th pick is going to be used on the best available player, but
right.
there are, but it doesn't mean we can't talk about the biggest area of need for the Chicago Bears, where some would say it's left tackle, some would say it's defensive tackle, some would say defensive end. So it's just
right.
like with the 25th pick, it's going to be interesting to see who the Bears view as, you know, a priority for them in fixing their team.
I don't think as an intelligent person, football guy, I don't think that left tackle will be that position, because I think you can find a left tackle in a system, in our, especially in our system, that can actually do some good. We don't have a defensive end in the system that can come up to be the next man up, like Dominique Robinson or whatever, because it never has worked in the last 3-4 years. So I feel like, you know, like what's his name, the Benedict guy, like, you know, whatever, right. blah blah. And I know that the guy's hurt from from Boston College, but I just feel like that is not that biggest concern per se, as opposed to having an impact. Like our defensive tackle, like Jerron Desker, he's okay, but he hasn't stepped up to like that third level. Or that, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Right.
He made it to the second floor, but then the elevator gave out on him. So,
you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
So I feel like we need that defensive end, because that wreaks havoc. That shows you that we need that pass rush. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I do think back to some of the previous drafts and, like, you know, wishing you had a dominant young, because, like, think about our defense right now. There is no young star. There's veterans and guys you tried to plug in, right? Jalen Johnson, Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard, Montez Sweat, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, Grady Jarrett. These are all older guys. So
Gardner's young. Is he old, Gardner?
Yeah, he's old. He's been in the league for like 6-7 years. I'm talking about like young studs that are on rookie deals that you're like, damn, this guy's gonna get paid when he's a free agent. Like, we don't have any of those guys. And that's why I feel like the Bears have yet to hit on, because you're right. You know, they have gotten lucky with fifth round pick in Braxton Jones, with an undrafted free agent in Theo Benedict, right, to play the left tackle position. They got very lucky. And sometimes when you get lucky like that, Herschel, you feel like you can duplicate that luck. Like, oh, I'll just go out and draft another guy in the fifth round and he'll just supplant Braxton Jones. It's like, it doesn't really work like that, because if it did, everybody would have fifth round picks that are starters, right? It's like you got to get lucky. And so I would love for the luck to come on the defensive side of the ball for once, right? Like, even Jervon Dexter, think about it, right? Like, Zach Pickens out the league, right? Like,
that's crazy.
So you're like Zach Pickens and Jervon Dexter, like, one of them was supposed to pop off. One of them was supposed to pop. And it's like, you just got like a, you didn't, not only, one of them sucked, and then the other one is like, like, he's not great. You know, he's not a difference maker. So you still want that to happen. And maybe this will be the year with, you know, some draft picks that they can get out. Maybe they'll change their fortune.
Is it really, though, Dexter's fault? Isn't he playing out of position? Defensive tackle is not his actual position, right?
Yeah, no, that's his position. He played that at Florida. Right up the middle. Big boy.
I don't think he... I thought he played, like on the other side of defensive tackle. I didn't know that. I thought it was... He was a nose tackle?
Size, though, for it. Yeah. No. He's supposed to be your bulky, big dude up the middle. And that was it. That's why remember, the Bears had that big need up the middle. And that's why they drafted both Zach Pickens and Jervon Dexter that year. Because they felt like they thought both of them were going to be their tackles for the future. But they're their interior alignment for the future. But obviously, one of them didn't pan out. He's with the Kansas City Chiefs now, Zach Pickens. And then, Jervon Dexter, it's just like, they had to go out and get Grady Jarrett. You know what I'm saying? Like, you drafted both of those guys and still paid resources from your cap to go get another defensive tackle. Like, that's what I'm talking about. You need to have a stud on defense so that way you can allocate those dollars to somebody else instead of another damn defensive tackle that you already drafted and spent two draft picks on. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know what they really need to do is just take a page from the Chicago Bulls and go get them a bad boy. Remember, we had a squeaky clean like record, and like, oh my God, we can't have these people, blah, blah. And then they got the approval from Jordan to bring Robin in.
Exactly.
So you just need to go get somebody that We should have got Jalen Carter. That's what we should have did.
Ooh, you know that's a hot button topic over here. I
get that part, but guess what? You know, he done won a Super Bowl. You know,
yeah, you're right.
You know,
and was the difference maker. Yeah,
exactly.
It'll be interesting. Well, Herschel, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you checking in. I'll be back, or actually, no, Monday I'll be doing the morning show with David. But feel free to call in then too. I'll be hanging out.
No worries. I'm just glad you're back on the waves. I was worried about you. Then I saw you a couple fill-ins. I was like, where my boy Gabe at? Gabe, Miami.
Herschel, this is what I tell people, you know, because I got so many jobs. I'm everywhere all the time. That's just it.
You know what? You everywhere like Savoy, I swear.
You know it. Hey, I appreciate the call, so have a good one, all right?
All right, brother. God bless you.
Always, man. You too. Herschel from Lincoln Park, definitely a member of the Night Owls. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out here on 104.3 The Score, live and local on your overnights. And it's like a treat, not just a treat for you, but a treat for me as well, because we get to hang out together. And, you know, I love talking to the people. I love getting your opinions. And the phone lines are open. Again, 312-644-6767. And on the wheel tonight, the wheel. I got to come up with a cool name for the wheel. But on the wheel tonight, we have, I'm curious in your Chicago mood right now, because the Bears aren't playing. Cubs and Sox haven't started yet. Blackhawks are on Olympic break. Bulls are on the All-Star break. Damn. I feel dead. I feel alone. That's my Chicago feeling. Also on the wheel, and nobody's answered this yet, and I'm surprised by this. If you could pick one place anywhere to build a stadium, to build the Bears stadium, where would you build it at? Is it Arlington Heights?
That gets a lot of people talking.
I know, and I would think that, to me, that's a no-brainer. That's an easy conversation. Because let me see. I'll make it up for me. I'll answer the question. If I could drop the Bears stadium anywhere, and I didn't have to worry about logistics or anything like that, I could just drop it anywhere, I would put the stadium selfishly right next to the United Center. Selfishly. I live off the 290. It's right there. I'm right off the Austin exit off the 290, right in Oak Park. It takes me literally, it is almost a shame how fast I get to work. Like, when I do CHSN, you know, check me out, Chicago Lee, myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky, 5:30, well, it depends on the day, but it's usually 5:30 or 6 o'clock on CHSN. I work at the United Center. My ass gets to work in literally 9 minutes. 9 minutes. Why? Because there's no traffic going eastbound on the 290 from Austin to Damon. So I get there in 9 minutes. I am like, sometimes it feels icky when I hear people sitting in traffic and I get to work in 9 minutes. Then, I mean, the commute is just easy. So then you figure to get here, like tonight, it took me like 12 minutes because I'm just going 290 straight to Lower Wacker. So if I were to put the Bears Stadium by the United Center, that would be it. Where would be another good place? Maybe by like Lane Tech. You know? I'm a Lane Tech alum, for those that don't know. So maybe you put it out by Lane Tech and get it out there. I see now what's happening is that it's too hard to figure out because you would want to drop it somewhere, but it doesn't make sense, so you can't wrap your brain around it. Like, Tyler, where would you, if you could put the Bears Stadium somewhere, would you just leave it where it's at?
Do you want me to give you the boring answer, my answer? Because it's yes. Arlington Heights.
You want it to go to Arlington
Heights? Yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's fine. That's fine. Like, because you don't want it to go to Iowa.
No. I couldn't believe listening to Spiegel and Holmes yesterday on my ride, and I'm like, is that real? Like, I thought they were kidding with me, or all of us, I should say, when I was driving in yesterday.
I wish we could grab the audio from...
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Chicago Lead yesterday, where it was me, Ruthie, and David, and we're talking about Hammond, Indiana, and Hallis Harbor, or whatever the hell they're trying to call it. And then I said, you know what this reminds me of? When you and your girl are fighting, and then like a coworker or someone online notices, and they're like, hey, Everything good with you? I see you post a black and white picture. You good? You all right? Everything good at home? That's what Hammond is doing right now. You all right? Hey, you know, hey, if he don't treat you right, I'll treat you right. And then what happens is this, Tyler. Then people get wind that, I heard Hammond's trying to slide on the Bears. Oh, I heard Hammond's trying to get in good with the Bears. And what happens? All the other single dudes out here, they all start trying to throw their name in the hat. All of a sudden, Gary, Indiana, Portage. And then out of left field, the little ugly one comes, you know, because now they think that you're available and single. So the little ugly one comes to try to holler at you. Who's the ugly one? Iowa. And you're looking at Iowa and you're like, exactly, the face that you got on, Tyler. You're looking at Iowa and you're like, oh, man, my bad. Oh, no, I'm not single, and I am so sorry that I gave off that impression that I was available.
I can stomach a Northwest Indiana stadium way more than I can stomach an Iowa stadium.
Of course. But that's just it. And then what I said at the very end, because then Ruthie's like, she's like, I love this analogy with the ex-girlfriend and stuff. I said, yeah. And I said, but look. And I said, you know who Arlington Heights is? It's the actual boyfriend coming in and being like, hey, baby girl, get over here.
Can we not mess this up again?
Stop playing games. Come here. Illinois is like, come here, baby girl.
We are not on a break anymore.
We were never on a break. And I don't even want to know what you did during the break. I don't even want to know what you did. Let's just get this back together, right this ship, and whoever, I get it. Hey, I did some things too. I did some things too that I'm not proud of. But baby girl, lock it in. And then Iowa, Portage, and all of them, they're like, damn, I knew they were out of my league. You know what I'm saying? I knew they were out of my league. And meanwhile, Illinois, the belle of the ball, the true belle, is like, of course you were never going to get my woman. She was always going to pick me.
See? My reason, though, for Arlington Heights is fairly simple. I've got family who works out in the area. I used to work out in the area as well. Okay. Like, 2-3 minute drive just down the road. And I don't go past that area very much, but every time that I do, it still amazes me how much land there is over there. Like,
so much.
I don't think they truly know how much space they have and how much money they could make. Like, I think they know they can make a ton of money owning that land. I don't think they know how much they can make. Like, it's going to be more than I think that they even realize.
Yeah, it's a ton. I mean, there's it's a great area because it's one of the first, when I think about like Chicago 25 years ago and you're thinking about the populated suburbs, you know, Arlington Heights was one of the first cool ones. You know what I'm saying? When you're thinking about Schaumburg, Naperville, Arlington Heights. And then you could say the other ones, you know? And so I think Arlington Heights has that infrastructure there. I used to date a girl that lived in Arlington Heights when I was like 20. And it used to suck. It was the first girl I ever dated in the suburbs. And it used to suck driving out, getting off on Arlington Heights Road. Parents had they were great. She was so fine. Her mom was Filipino and her dad was Creole. So, you know, from like New Orleans, from NOLA. So she was black, like Creole, like a Beyonce with Filipino. So fine. I mean, even my brother to the day still calls her the GOAT. Don't tell my wife that. Thank God she's sleepy right now. I don't call her the GOAT, babe. I said my brother.
I could dump that if you want.
Nah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Let's live on the edge, Tyler.
Let's do it.
It's overnights, bro.
I don't live on the edge enough. Let's do it.
Yeah, you should live on the edge a little more. Baby T, baby E, you got baby living on the edge. All right. That was horrible. All right. We are going to take a break. And on the other side, an opportunity for some more phone calls. Again, if you could pick one location for the Bear Stadium, where would it be? Could just simply say Arlington Heights, or you could say, like, you know, the Wiener Circle, right next to the Wiener Circle. Whatever your call there. Curious if you like an Olympic sport, maybe figure skating is your jam. Low key, like anything somebody can do that I can't is amazing. So like figure skating for sure on that. Expectations for Cubs and Sox, curious about those as well. So the wheel is full of stuff. But on the other side, going to talk a little bit about Nick Castellanos and what item he brought into the dugout that got him a one-game suspension and the pink slip from the Philadelphia Phillies. And then we'll take some more of your Bears calls on the other side. Phone lines are open. What's up? Where are my night owls at? 312-644-6767. We'll take calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.